Good morning and welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate your tuning in this morning. During this live show, we welcome your phone calls to 952-946-6205 and your emails to radio at mnatheists.org. So today is Sunday, September 25th. We had a guest that we're hoping to still get a hold of, Mark Noggle, an immigration attorney based in South Jordan, Utah, who is helping people leave the Mormon Church. But we do have somebody who has already been through that process some time ago and is here to talk about her experiences doing so as well. Georgia Hancock, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So this is really interesting that, especially over the past year, there's been a lot of stuff going on with regards to the Mormon Church and regards to people deciding to leave it. But it always struck me as interesting to say that there's all of these processes around leaving the LDS, leaving the Church of the Latter-day Saints or the Mormon Church. My particular process in leaving my church was I just woke up one Sunday and said, nah, I'm not going anymore. But there seems to be a lot more involved in doing so for the Mormon Church. And first of all, welcome to the show. Why is it so different with the Mormon Church?
It is, I guess, more like a community. I am from Utah, so living amongst the Mormons and being part of the Mormon religion, it really is a culture and a community. Where people are checking in on you, basically. When I didn't show up to church when I was in college, I got visits from the missionaries finding out why I had not attended or why I had not been attending. So
this is, you were in college. Where were you in college at this time?
I went to Utah State University.
Okay. And these would be people who would be calling you up, showing up at your dorm room?
They showed up at my dorm room, basically.
Oh, wow.
So.
So what was their intent? They were there to, you didn't know these people.
I didn't know them.
Right.
They did show up to ask me why I was not attending church. At that point, I think I was 19. Excuse me. I had chosen not to attend because of my experience getting phone calls from young men in my church who had, they had actually seen me at church.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who they were. They had gotten my phone number from the bishop of the church.
Mm-hmm.
These were young men that were returning from their missions. And they were calling me up, asking me out on dates because they were looking for wives. I wasn't there to get married. I was there to get my college degree, and that was the assumption at that point in time. And I honestly did not realize that was the case.
But so that's the natural progression, right? Is if you're in the church, you go on your mission when you're 18, 19 years old. You're out there for about 2 years. And then you come back and that's the next step, right? Just to get married. So people are coming back and looking for that. And then the bishop then is acting as kind of an online dating, intermediary.
It was kind of creepy. What can I say?
Well, it is. It's people just showing up. And so these are people who maybe they had never interacted with you before, but they had all your information at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just showing up and asking you for dates.
Yes.
So going back to this point about this is very much then a community, right? And that is possibly what makes it really hard to leave. There's a lot of stories we hear about people leaving churches, especially the more cult-oriented churches, which are very protective of their memberships, where they're living in a community where the entirety of the community is, and the identity of the people who live in it, starts with this church membership. And so it becomes then very problematic to leave because, in essence, you have to leave part of your identity. But what does the community do at that point when they realize that somebody in their midst is no longer an apostate, basically?
Oh, they try every effort to get you back on board. In my case, it didn't work. They did come. I had some questions for them, the missionaries, when they showed up at my dorm room. I asked them about the church's stance on African Americans and on women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
And those were not accepted. Those questions were not accepted well or answered well. And I said, well, you can't answer my questions. So goodbye, basically. Don't come back.
So, and these were people who, did you ever think that maybe, that people within the church had noticed that you weren't attending church anymore? They were sending these people to you in order to engage and have these conversations in order to figure out, hey, what's the angle? How can we get her back in?
Right.
So it was definitely kind of an outreach effort, that they were going through to bring you back in. Now, what is the process then? So at this point, while this is going on, you have not officially left the church. You were no longer attending. What did you consider yourself at the time?
I was basically at that point, I was done with religion. Mm-hmm. I never went back.
And this was during college, right?
This was during college. Yep. But I was still attending the university. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why they didn't continue their efforts to try and bring me back in at that point.
Hmm. Was the university particularly religious?
The university is a public school.
Right.
But one of the things that you have to understand in Utah, at least from my experience, is that they really do control everything in the state, mm-hmm. including the public schools and the public universities. They do have a lot of say in what happens at these institutions.
How much say do they have about the curriculum, for example?
I'll give you one example, actually. I do have a degree in sociology and social work, mm-hmm. and I took a class on cults. The textbook for the class included the Mormon religion, which is very interesting. But that wasn't something that was ever discussed in our class, even though it was part of the textbook that we used.
Would they expect you, I mean, did it come up in exams? Did it count as part of your grade in any way to know these things? Or was it a little bit more subtle than
that? I don't recall that it did at all. So that's just one example. But the other one is in Utah, outside of the public school system, so outside of the junior highs and high schools, just off campus are Mormon seminaries. Hmm. Where you can take that as an extra class, but you're encouraged to do so.
Hmm. Interesting. So these, you know, you have these 2 years of mission, and in fact, we had an interview here on the show with William Shun, Bill Shun, who wrote The Accidental Terrorist, a great book about his mission and the things that happened to him during that time, and he decides to leave his mission. At that point, not so much, if my recollection is true, not so much because he was considering leaving the church, but because he missed his family, he missed his girlfriend who was back home, really wanted to go back. But there's a lot of intervention. There's a lot of people all of a sudden reaching out into this network of contacts all across the state, trying to find him, contacting the local bishops, the leaders of the local wards, which are the provinces or kind of regional areas for the church, and all of a sudden he's getting these phone calls and people are finding him, and he thinks he's on his way back anonymously back into the United States. He's in Canada at the time, but he's not. He's being monitored and tracked, and everybody sees where he's going. What's your experience with that? With that kind of people reaching out and networking in order to stay in touch?
So, my family maybe is a little different in that they were a bit dysfunctional. They didn't fit into the typical Mormon stereotypical family. My mother had been married and divorced 5 times. She wasn't somebody that the church really reached out to because of that, even though she was still very Mormon. So maybe because of my status, I didn't get a whole lot of that after pushing back the first time. After moving to Minnesota, which I did 2 weeks after graduating from college, I didn't hear from anyone or get approached by anyone until I was established and in the process of getting married. Then my mother had given my information to the local bishop, and that's when I started getting visits.
The local bishop here in Minnesota.
Yes, in Minnesota.
So give us the timeline. When was it?
So that I graduated in 1990, probably around 1992 was when I started getting contacted. And my first visit was from some ladies in the Mormon church who came to see me.
So let's hear about that. What exactly is, I mean, they just show up at your door one
day? They showed up at my door.
Okay.
So my ex-husband and I at the time, my husband at the time, were living in an apartment building. And somebody buzzed our buzzer, which doesn't happen very often. And he basically just let the door open. And they came to our apartment door. And they were women from the Mormon church.
From the local ward.
Local ward in Plymouth, yep.
And the local ward, for those of you who don't know, this is news to me when I was reading Bill Shun's book. The local wards are the little kind of districts that the church divides the country, well, not even the country, the world, I'm guessing,
yep.
Into. And they have what?
Community.
And there's a local leader of that ward.
A bishop, yep.
A bishop of the ward. And they kind of control everything that's going on within there.
Yes.
Okay, please stay with us throughout the break. We're going to return with Atheist Talk with our guest today, Georgia Hancock. I'm David Pacheco. You're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mike Papantonio from Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is a direct, smart, and I gotta promise you, a fearless progressive talk show. Join me, Mike Papantonio, and my co-host Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Sam Cedar as we take on the large corporate conglomerates and that radical right-wing media that dominate America's airwaves. Ring of Fire, Saturdays from 3 to 6 and Sundays from 6 to 9 p.m. on AM 950. It is the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This is Atheist Talk. I'm your host, David Pacheco. If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 952-946-6205 or send us an email to radio@mnatheists.org. Today's guest is Georgia Hancock, who is an ex-Mormon who is telling us about her experience. And also, we're going to be discussing some of the resources available for people who are thinking of leaving the Mormon Church. So before the break, we were talking about the timeline was around 1992. You were just getting ready to get married, and then all of a sudden, these women show up. What time of day was this? Was this in the evening? They just show up in the mornings?
If I recall, I think it was a weekend that they showed up. Maybe a Saturday or a Sunday.
These weren't kids on their mission, right?
These were women from the ward, the local ward that had showed up.
How did they find you? How did they know to contact you?
My suspicion is that it was my mother who asked them to contact me.
Now, your mother at this point, was she considered a member in good standing, quote unquote, of the church? Okay, so she was attending regularly. And she was back in Utah?
Yeah, she was in Utah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so they get your name from their local bishop, presumably, received from your mother, and just show up and say hi.
Yeah, we're coming to see you, Sister Hancock, who was, and by the way, at that point, so I think, let me just bring a little more information into the story here, because I was pregnant at the time.
Oh, okay.
So I think that is really what fueled the fire there, as far as making sure that I was contacted by the local ward.
Hmm. So obviously the stakes are being raised slightly in terms of the number of souls potentially being saved.
Correct.
and your husband, the person you were going to be married to, the person you engaged to back in 92, what affiliation?
He was an atheist at the time.
He was an atheist. Yeah. Now at this point, what did you consider yourself in 92?
Non-religious, really. I wasn't, I had no interest in being involved in any religions at that time. I didn't call myself an atheist, but I probably was almost there at that point.
So, and this process, I mean, this is what always strikes me about the process of leaving some of these churches and some of these cults, especially, is involving family members and involving members of the community. There's always going to be a significant backlash. What kind of backlash would you have expected back in Utah versus what you might face here? Here is not going to be, here in Minnesota is probably, you know, not going to be that bad. But what would you have expected in Utah if you'd say there?
In Utah, I don't think that the visits would have stopped. But my soon to be husband at the time basically said, "Don't come back. You're not welcome."
Mm-hmm. Now, did they respect that?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Because there's lots of stories, and we reading up on for this particular show, we learned a lot of stories about people who are not left alone, especially in Utah. I mean, there's plenty more people that they can send too.
Yeah.
Where they don't, they just keep coming and coming and coming, and they stop you in the supermarket and say hi.
Exactly.
I'm a member of your local ward, or. And this is where it gets especially problematic, is they get your family members to constantly talk to you, harass you, say, when are you coming back? What's wrong? What questions do we need to answer? So did your mother ever reach out to you specifically?
Oh, yeah. Yep, she did. On a continual basis.
Hmm.
But it being in Minnesota, that's one reason why I left Utah to live in Minnesota, was because I knew this.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the people in my community. I knew that the only way I could get away from that constant harassment was to leave the state.
Hmm.
And I had a degree, and I had a contact here in Minnesota. And that kind of gave me the opportunity to get out of the situation.
You had a contact here. Did you have, at that point, especially back in 92, we didn't have... I mean, the internet existed, but it was a very, very early form.
Yes.
So you didn't have this kind of resources that are available today to do that. So this is very much you acting on your own to do this, right?
That is correct. Yep.
So so there are resources now available online, and in fact, the Mark Noggle, who's the immigration attorney, who has offered to provide free legal support for mm-hmm. people who are leaving the church. He offers to write the to help you generate the letter. He's got a form that you fill in that touches all the points, that says here's what you have to say and here's the way you have to say it in order for it to be legal. And you send the letter to him. He forwards it to the membership organization. And supposedly that should be it, right? Because he's touched all the legal points that are required in order to make this not an issue. But you didn't have that back then, but you did send the letter.
I did send a letter that was recommended by the ladies from the Relief Society in the Plymouth Ward.
Yes,
okay. It's a women's organization for women only in the church. Mm. and I was actually never got to that point where I was a part of that.
Okay.
In the Mormon church. They recommended that I write a letter to the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that.
And it was just, did they offer you any help in how to?
No.
Okay.
So I got no help as to how it should be written. It was a handwritten letter that I mailed to, and I can't even tell you where it got mailed at this point.
And did you ever receive any response from that?
Never got a response.
Okay. But then again in 2005,
mm-hmm.
you wrote a much more official one.
Yes.
What were the important parts of the context of that letter?
So, basically, first of all, a little background on why I wrote it was I got a call from the bishop one evening. And at that point, I had been divorced. I was a single mom. And I don't know if they knew that about me, but I got a call from the bishop checking in on me, acting like I was a member of the ward.
And you had not had any contact. You had not
attended
since 1990.
I hadn't attended church. I hadn't, gotten any contact from the Mormon church.
What was his attitude during the call? Hey, how you doing? What, you know, just calling to check up on you?
And I said, I'm an atheist. I don't know why you keep calling me.
How did he take that?
So he's like, well, we need to take your name off the records then. And I said, well, I thought that was already done. I had already written a letter.
Yeah.
Well, let me send you an official request for that letter.
And by the way, this is something we found happens all the time, right? You send in a letter, and if you don't get any response whatsoever, they'll call you up a year later and say, oh, by the way, you know, you're still a member of our church. And, oh, you did? Yes, here's another form you need to fill in. Or here's something that the bishop needs to sign. Or it needs to be this official form on this official letterhead, blah, blah, blah. All this kind of stuff to kind of delay the concept. And the church calls this, by the way, they call it name removal, but the church actually never removes the member's name from the records at all. What they do is they indicate, they say, resigned on this date, or that your name was removed on such and such a date. So you're never actually removed from the rolls.
And I don't think I have been removed even after this letter because I didn't get a response.
You should, actually. So maybe you should talk to Mark.
Yeah, I might need to.
and get the official one because, they should send you at least some confirmation because otherwise, who knows, in another 10 years' time, they'll call you up again and say, hey, hello, fellow Mormon. Hello, Sister Hancock. And
My phone number has been canceled. I've moved to an address where nobody knows where I'm at, so.
Well, they seem to be good with resources, to help find
people. My mother knows my new address, though.
That might be problematic. Please stay with us through the break. We'll return to Atheist Talk with our guest, Georgia Hancock. This is David Pacheco. You are listening to AM 950 KTNF, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Matt McNeil. Join AM 950 this Monday night for the first presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. We'll be in the beautiful Dunsmore Room at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club in Fridley. $15 gets you a ticket to the show and complimentary light appetizers. Special debate night themed drinks will be available for sale too, including the Raucous Caucus, the Absentee Ballot, and the Electoral College. Monday night, doors will open to the Dunsmore Room at 7:30 and the debate is at 8. We'll be giving away some fun door prizes to go along with our debate night bingo. Speaking of which, we're always looking for more great words and phrases for the bingo cards. So email the station at comment@am950radio.com with your ideas or send us a message on Facebook. Head over early and enjoy a great meal, too, with their full restaurant menu. Then join us in the Dunsmore Room at 7:30, Monday the 26th, with the debate starting at 8. Find Crooners at 6161 Highway 65 in Fridley and get your tickets now at am950radio.com.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 68. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 50. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 62. And Tuesday, sunny with a high around 66. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump debate for the first time coming up on Monday. And you can watch it at AM 950's debate viewing party at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. Tickets are only $15 and happy hour runs until 6:30 with dinner available as well. Details at am950radio.com.
Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the voice of Minnesota. I am your host, David Pacheco. If you have a question or comment, please call us at 952-946-6205 or an email to radio@mnatheist.org. Many of you know us from listening live to the show, streaming it from the website, or listening to the podcast. And please, we would like to ask you to make a donation online at minnesotaatheist.org or contact us at info@minnesotaatheist.org. Any amount you can donate, no matter how large or small, does help keep the show on the air. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from Minnesota Atheists, Humanists of Minnesota, Farmers Insurance Agent Georgia Hancock Soy, and Cucumbers Restaurant. If you would like to advertise on this program, please contact us at 952-946-6205 or an email to radio@mnatheist.org. This program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of listeners. If you're able to make a donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page, where you can also find out more information on activities, events, opportunities, including book clubs, discussion groups, pub crawls, movie nights, and many others. The odds are that you will find lots of events to interest you throughout the year. You can also subscribe and become a member and receive the Atheist Weekly email, which is chock full of stuff to do. Our music is composed by member Brent Michael Davids. So welcome back to Atheist Talk. We're here with Georgia Hancock, and we're talking about a couple of things I wanted to address in this last section. But I wanted to talk about recent events, especially last November. We had a situation where there were some documents leaked from the Mormon Church that talked about the treatment of LGBTQ the treatment of the LGBTQIA community. So there was a new policy, apparently. This was introduced in the Handbook of Instruction, is the name of it. So members in same-sex marriages would be considered apostates, which is an offense for which they could be excommunicated. That was problematic enough. But the major debacle about this clarification was the statement that the children who lived in these same-sex households would be excluded from religious rites, including things like, you know, basic core stuff like baptism, which presumably is necessary in order to enter Mormon heaven, until they turned 18. And even at that point, once they turned 18, they had to disavow same-sex relationships, including that of their parents. move out of their parents' house and ask to rejoin the church. Now, this has led to a lot of people calling up places like quitmormon.org and several other online resources to say, no, we're done. There's been a lot of that type of situation. What have you seen among your friends, your family, that have led out of this particular type of event?
As far as what they would think or say at this point, those that are still part of the church would completely go along with that. They follow blindly, basically.
And there's no problem. Is there? Do you think that there's some unsettling in your family of people going, maybe this isn't what we should be doing to kids? You know, people under 18.
You know what? To be honest with you, my contact is very minimal at this point with those family members. The only one I still have contact with that is a member is my mother. But again, you know what? She would blindly follow this. She would definitely support the church in this manner.
And presumably, it's the same kind of denial that existed up until 1978, when African American people could not become leaders of any sort in the church. Well, it's all explained away and said, well, it's biblical. It has to be.
That's correct. True.
It's in the Book of Mormon. But that's part of the question. Is that in the Book of Mormon anywhere? The Book of Mormon doesn't have any instructions for how to resign from the church.
They do not. Yeah. No.
and yet now it's this big, long, protracted issue. And the church seems to not want to let people go. Now, the church has about 15 million members, according to its own internal numbers. The people who are leaving are not in the hundreds of thousands, at least by any known record. So why do they want to say, why do they want to reject this? Why do they want to not acknowledge your letter and say, no, you're still a Mormon? Why would they do that?
To show numbers.
Right.
That's the only thing that's the only thing that I can think of, because I don't think the numbers are correct. And there's probably a lot more people like myself who have left. But that has not been acknowledged.
There seems to be numbers floating around, and statistically, I don't know how well sourced these are, but that say that yes, 15 million members, maybe names on a list. But what percentage of those are attending church regularly, are tithing regularly, are participating, are sending their kids on missions and things like that? I think that's an open question.
It is an open. Yeah, I would agree.
And there's a lot of churches that do the exact same thing, right? That's the more numbers you have, the better you look. But they make it really difficult for people, even if they've expressed a desire to leave. And keeping somebody inside your community who is expressly opposed to that community, it doesn't seem to be productive in any way.
Yeah, I would agree.
So the process for actually leaving that, let's talk about that. There's a couple of websites that actually help people do this, including Mark Noggle's website, which is quitmormon.com. There's also a couple ones like mormonnomore.com. They provide all of this kind of information on how to leave. And there's been some interesting legal cases regarding people leaving the church, and then the church tries to excommunicate them. And there was a lawsuit brought by Norman Hancock. No relation, or maybe yes, or we don't really know.
I'm not sure.
this is a few years ago. And that was to force the church to accept his resignation, even after a disciplinary process had been started. Are you familiar at all with any of the disciplinary processes, how those work?
I am not, actually. I never had the opportunity to experience that.
So these are things they take multiple days. You have to stand in front of a tribunal of elders where they explain to you the things you've done wrong and against the church and what they intend to do about it. And they can start this disciplinary process even if you're not there, and they can excommunicate you. But legally, according to at least a couple of cases in 2005 and later, they cannot excommunicate you if you've already resigned. So you kind of have to force them to accept that resignation before they'll excommunicate. You haven't heard anything along those lines in your case, have you?
I have not. But they may have done this, and I'm not aware of it, too.
I would think that they would want to contact you and tell you, by the way, if you don't come back, we're going to excommunicate you.
I am a woman.
That's true.
So that might be a different process for someone like myself. I'm just not aware of what the process is.
There's I don't know if it's that's an interesting question. I don't know if it's different for men or women leaving the church. Yeah. And the other question I had, and I haven't found anybody other than online resources to answer this yet. But what if you change your mind? What if you were to change your mind tomorrow and say, oh, you know what? Oops, I actually am a Mormon. Sorry. I'd like to come back, please. And they won't just say, oh, okay, fine, you're back.
Then they would most likely excommunicate me and make me go through the process again, be my guess.
Which process was that? What was that?
Which would be asking for forgiveness, getting rebaptized, et cetera, et cetera.
So you have to go through... do you know how long that would take? Is that just
probably take several months, maybe even years.
Really? Mm-hmm. Would you have to go back to Utah?
No.
No. There's local people looking at
that. Yeah, the local ward would be able to handle it, I'm sure.
So I wonder if there's a practical difference. Was it important to you to no longer be on that list? Let's talk about
that. Yes, it was.
Why?
Because I look at this as an accidental membership anyway, where my family basically forced me to be a part of this religion.
And so it's important for you for your identity?
For my identity, yes. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And so that's from the perspective of an outsider who has left his own church, but it doesn't influence me as much. For me to know that the Catholic Church, for example, still had my name on a list wouldn't affect me that much. But it does seem to be very critical to people who belong to the Mormon Church to know that. Well, and you're not off the list, right? You're just marked as resigned. But that seems to be very important. Have you found that to be true amongst other ex-Mormons that you've spoken to?
You know what? To be honest, I haven't had a whole lot of communication with ex-Mormons either, right, other than the ones that I've met through Minnesota Atheists.
Mm-hmm.
But I did recently connect with someone who had left the religion, is part of Minnesota Atheists, and does not want her family to know that she's an atheist, because it could affect access to her family.
Sure.
If they find out. So I can see that, you know, that could be an issue for some.
And what was your post? So you were in the church until you were around 19?
Yeah, 19, 20.
What do you remember most about being a member of the church at the time?
Towards the end there, I remember going home. At that point in time, I had left my mother's family and moved in with her parents because of some dysfunctional and other issues. That's a whole other topic for another day. But when I would come home from college, I would go to church with my grandmother because that was very important to her.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was home on a break or visiting, we would go to church together. Both of us would literally fall asleep because it was the same message over and over again.
Right.
I mean, after you've heard the same things growing up hundreds of times, it's really very boring, actually.
Right. Was church attendance the primary activity? Was there anything outside of that that was kind
of... There was as youth, yes. I do have some good memories of youth activities and giving back to the community. Camps. I remember some fun winter camps, summer camps that I participated in with a group, and giving back to the community, servicing the elderly,
mm-hmm.
As groups do, and any group can do those things.
Right.
But that was really some of the fonder memories that I have.
And we have groups here in Minnesota that do very similar things, right?
Yes.
That have similar activities that don't require any particular membership in any particular church or set of beliefs. Well, I want to thank you, Georgia, for being with us today. Unfortunately, we were not able to get our other guest, Mark Noggle. His website, though, if you are interested in creating the Mormon Church, he is an attorney who will help you do that and do it for free. And he has actually offered to buy your first beer if you're an ex-Mormon leaving the church to do
that's
that.
That's awesome.
His website. And if he ever comes up to Minnesota, I'll buy him a beer when he comes up. His website is quitmormon.com. There are also websites like mormonnomore.com that provide templates for letters and things like that, and are really useful for people who are interested in leaving the Mormon Church. So thank you once again to Georgia Hancock. I'll buy you a beer, too. So thank you for being on the show. I would like to thank our audience for tuning into Atheist Talk. I am David Pacheco. I invite you to join us again next Sunday. I am proud to be on the air with the Minnesota Atheists, and I hope that you appreciate the show, which depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and donors. The podcast for the show will be on our radio page. This has been Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the voice, progressive voice of Minnesota. Have a great Sunday.